I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
QAnon, a conspiracy theory born online, took over the Republican Party, sent followers to Congress, and with Donald Trump, incited a mob that attacked the Capitol and murdered a cop. Then Republicans like Brian Fitzpatrick voted to protect Trump, letting the QAnon mob win. Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick should have stood with us, but he was a coward. He stood with Trump and the lies. Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick, he stood with Q, not you. DCCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Oh, man. They must have had a poet write that for the Democrats.
He stood with Q.
He stood with Q, not you out there in the Makefields and all that.
He stood with Q, not you.
That's right. He's not standing with Levittown. He's standing with QAnon Town. And by the way, tomorrow is a big day in Washington, allegedly, for QAnon, Dan. Today is a big day for members of another cult, those on the Democrat Party in the House, who believe that our voting rules and laws and enforcement, apparently, are too restrictive. They're suppressing. Today's the vote in the House on that big bill, H.R. 1. Brian Fitzpatrick tweeted out about that, or his people did anyhow, about what this would do. And he's with us. It's been quite a while. Let's go to Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Congressman, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dom. Good morning.
Well, we played that. Thanks for your office sending it to us several times. If I had to pick the least likely person imaginable to try to use that on, he's with Q, not with you. You be in the top three or four. How does it feel when you get something like that from the Democrats?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the state of politics we're in right now where truth has very little bearing. It's unfortunate. It's what we're up against. And, you know, we're a few months removed from the past election, and they've already started in. It's the nature of being in a district like ours where you're just constantly under assault by non-facts and fallacies, but you know, we're fighting for a bigger cause here. We got to win the House back next year. An awful lot's at stake, as I'm sure you know.
Well, and I know you are close with Kevin McCarthy, and you see the stuff that he does behind the scenes. And I think there is more than a reasonable shot to do that, because it seems to me the Biden administration and Democrats in general are overreaching at this point. You know, they start to believe their own media on this stuff. They didn't win a mandate or anything like it. And some of these things, what would you say in Bucks County of anything, Brian, that's been done so far has reverberated as far as people going, really? I didn't think they'd be doing that.
Well, I mean, the big issues that I personally think we need to be addressing, and it's what I'm hearing, election integrity for one, voter ID, signature match, APM, election day deadline for ballots, with the exception of military ballots, clean up the voter rolls to make them more accurate, you know, to reflect people moving in and out of state, people passing away, getting rid of this quote unquote live ballots that some states have, like Nevada and New Jersey, eliminating ballot harvesting like they have in California. All these things undermine people's faith and confidence in the elections, and we have to fix that. Holding China accountable, you know, to start with the 2022 Beijing Olympics, which I think ought to be moved. Border security, we're seeing that crisis, which is a direct result, by the way, of really bad decisions that this administration has made with regard to reversing a lot of the previous administration's policies, going back to a catch and release posture, which is awful and sends the wrong message. Big tech abuses, I hear that a lot. And then, you know, the censorship and cancer culture, which Dr. Seuss is the most recent victim of. These are the things that I'm hearing the most about. I think it's what we need to focus on, not just as a conference, but as a Congress, because these are serious concerns. There was a poll that came out yesterday, Dom, by Harvard. that 64% of the public believes that cancel culture is a threat to freedom of speech, including close to half of Democrats that were polled. So this is not even a partisan issue. Censorship is an issue across the board. Everybody ought to be concerned about it because this is not a partisan issue. This is a freedom of speech issue. And if they can cancel, you know, Republicans, they can cancel Democrats or anyone in between.
Absolutely.
And I think we really need to be cognizant about that.
I'm heartened to hear how top of the line, because that vote today in H.R. 1 comes up that you tweeted out. And I try to put it during the campaign, and I think you're saying the same thing. I didn't go off on conspiracy theories or whatever, but the bad faith here in Pennsylvania on some of the stuff you mentioned, if you're going to have early places you can drop your ballot, we ought to be able to see it. You shouldn't be able to have votes coming in 3 days after. Signature match. These were all just blatant because they had the power that they were able to do it. So what's going to happen with this today? Does it pass? Do Democrats really believe this is what the country wants? More, I wouldn't call it openness, but more questionable things, given what you're hearing in Bucks County.
I will tell you this, Dom, and I'll never, you know, out of respect to my colleagues, I'll never mention them by name, but I can just tell you that the moderate Democrats in the Democrat caucus are furious right now with their leadership that they are putting these bills through. So H.R. 1 is going to pass a straight party line vote. There won't be a single Republican voting for it. You know, we all believe in transparency, which a small piece of this bill addresses. But what we don't believe is you know, centralized control in Washington, D.C. of elections. We don't believe in undermining voter ID. We don't believe in taxpayer-funded campaign salaries and expenses and taxpayer-funded negative TV ads and mailers. And it's there's so much in this bill, Dom, that is awful. And at a time when we all ought to be focused, including the Democrats, by the way. They should not want this situation to perpetuate in our country where close to half of the voters don't trust the election process. And this is not, by the way, relitigating anything in 2020. That's not. This is a forward-looking thing to just realize and understand. And I hear it all the time in Bucks County. And if I'm hearing it in Bucks County, you're hearing it even more probably throughout the country, that people are very concerned about this. They don't understand why signatures don't have to match. That doesn't make any sense to them. They don't understand why we don't have photo ID. And I will tell you this, Dom, another colleague of mine in the Democrat caucus came up to me the other day on the floor and said, I don't understand why our party, meaning the Dem Party, Democratic Party, is opposed to photo ID. If the issue is that certain people can't afford it, well, then we'll make it free of charge to people that can't afford it. But you need a photo identification to fly, to get into the Republican and Democrat conventions,
exactly,
to do everything, everything. And if it's going to eliminate any shadow of a doubt that many of these voters have, why wouldn't we all get on board with that? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that they're inroads, but they're still going to have to vote for this H.R. 1. And the smarter Democrats, you're right, are going to see that the way I build it is what happened here in Pennsylvania, for example, Brian. It was bad faith. It doesn't have to be outright fraud. You know, simple things could have been done to make people believe that Biden won Pennsylvania by the margin he did and all that. How about mail-in voting? What are people out in Bucks County saying? The upside is convenience, but I'm not trusting it because of some of the stuff I saw play out here. Well, what do your constituents say?
Well, it's especially a problem when it comes to states that they mail out quote-unquote live ballots, meaning that it's not an application that you apply for and then get one, much like absentee voting, where they just automatically send to any registered voter a ballot, which the voter registration rules, by definition, can never be up to the second accurate. People die every day. People move every day. So that's a bad process. And we've heard a lot of stories of people getting other people's ballots mailed to them. That creates a massive impression and perception of looseness in our election laws, and it undermines people's confidence in the outcome. So we got to fix that. I personally think, Dom, that the best system is what they have in Florida. They have basically excuse-free absentee voting, where you can early vote, you can mail in your vote, but there's guardrails around the system. There's checks in the system. And isn't it amazing that a state the size of Florida was able to deliver their verdict on election night? They got all their votes counted and cast and declared by 11 p.m. And they did it right. And they have early voting and excuse-free absentee voting. But they have guardrails around the system, so people in Florida actually trust the process. That's what we need elsewhere.
I wanted to talk about the FBI director yesterday. I'm not a fan, so you know, going in. You may know him. We think of the FBI. We think of you. The FBI is still a world-class organization. But, you know, this idea of domestic terrorism, and I know this is an area where you have a lot of expertise. True, we need to be on top of that. I don't think the fence ought to be around the Capitol that we're seeing. It's problematic. But, you know, Antifa here in Philadelphia, and I have personal experience seeing this stuff, they are a group that I believe is pretty tightly organized. And what we're seeing them do in some cities is not up to storming the Capitol, but it is problematic beyond belief. They're a domestic terrorist outfit to me, too. Why are we not declaring that, or do you see something different?
Well, I've been calling on the Department of Justice and, you know, the administration, including the former administration, to declare Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization for years now. Now, there's more than meets the eye there when you declare an entity as a domestic terror organization. It goes to the, you know, foreign acts which deal with money laundering and things like that. But what I will tell you is the FBI, in their definition of domestic terrorism, it includes any fringe extremist groups, whether they be on the far right or the far left. So, you know, just like we need to investigate, you know, fringe right groups, white supremacist groups, we also need to investigate far left groups like Antifa. They are both a threat. Any type of terror organization that's domestic in their nature, as opposed to the international groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab and Ansar al-Sharia and Hamas and Hezbollah, we have domestic type groups that also pose a threat that are on the political fringes. And Antifa should not be given a pass. I completely disagree with President Biden when he says that they're an idea. They're not an idea. They are a real organization.
Yeah.
Are they loosely structured? Yes, they are. They're not as tightly outfitted, and they don't have a clear chain of command like some of these other groups do. But that just means that it's tougher to investigate.
Well, they're anarchists. They're anarchists, and that's
correct.
One of the reasons
correct.
They don't have it. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, well,
and it's a little bit tougher to follow the money flow because following the money is always a key to finding who the leadership is and what their plans are. And it becomes more of a challenge when you don't have a clearly defined, identified chain of command, but it's still something that needs to be investigated. And I hope the FBI continues to do that.
Now, you voted against the new stimulus, if you will, around COVID-19, et cetera. And I'm glad you did that because sitting here from afar, it seems to be the same old of stuff that's in there that should not be. I wanted to ask you, though, our listeners, by and large, and I'm a fan, though, of making whole people that were harmed by the pandemic. I don't know if you saw this because you're busy in Washington, but yesterday the acting Secretary of Labor and Industry testified that 500,000 jobs were lost permanently in Pennsylvania. Those were her words. So I think the $2,000, and I know $600 has been given, are justified as long as it's targeted properly. Are you on board with that, and why did you vote against the whole bill?
Yeah, I mean, we voted for a number of bipartisan COVID relief packages. I voted also when, the previous administration had asked for checks, direct stimulus checks, to be up to $2,000. I voted on the floor for that in December. The whole issue is we need targeted relief. We don't have a money tree in Washington where we can just pass out money indiscriminately. And every dollar that we spend that's not targeted is a dollar that's taken away from those who do need it. And that's the choice here. It's not that we can just throw money around to a subway in Silicon Valley or a bridge going from New York to Canada. That's not COVID relief. So when people driving in the car, they hear, you know, there's COVID relief package. They say, yes, we need COVID relief. I agree with that. But it's being packaged as COVID relief. But if you unpack it and unwrap it, there's a lot in there that's not COVID relief. And there's got to be people down here in D.C., Dom, that are responsible, that are not just giving things away like it's Christmas 12 right. months out of the year. These are real tax dollars that are being given to the government by the hardworking people who have already had a very challenging year from an economic standpoint. We have to be prudent with how we spend it. And should we get it to the people that need it? 100%, 1,000% we should. But when we start putting in subway systems in Silicon Valley to the tune of $140 million, there is nothing COVID-related about that. And that's just one example. If you have an hour, I could go through a ton of things in that bill that were problematic.
No, I completely agree. That's the difference. Sadly, and I'm not going to name names, but some of your colleagues, while McConnell, even though he's not in your branch there, and others, I think have a tin ear on the relief. That relief, even as a conservative, for due people, because the government and the virus shut them down. And I think the morality of it's bad, and I think the politics of it are bad when we don't try to make those people whole while targeting the people that really need help.
No doubt about it. And the argument that I've made to my colleagues, every dollar that you spend that is not targeted is a dollar you're taking away from people and entities and businesses that desperately need it. And that's how we have to view this.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you very, very much. What's next on the agenda for you? Is there a particular thing that you're working on that we should know about?
Well, I mean, obviously, election integrity is very, very important, Dom, because, and again, I want to reemphasize, this is not backward-looking to 2020. This is forward-looking to every future election. We cannot have a situation in our country where close to half of our voters don't trust the process. We cannot accept that. That's bad for everybody. And China is a huge problem that we got to stay on top of. Big tech abuses, censorship, and border security. We now have a self-inflicted crisis on the border because of the decisions that this administration is making that are creating a crisis, and we got to fix that.
Oh, schools. That's what I wanted to ask you. Now, you're at the federal level, a little bit different, but you probably are hearing the same thing out there. And well, you have a great guy in Damsker, Dr. Damsker, that's helped to reopen the schools. But sadly, across the area, so in Bucks County, are people satisfied, or is that an issue to them of reopening in-person education?
Well, obviously, it's a concern for everybody. What I think the solution is, which many states have done, you know, get our teachers vaccinated and make sure we have safe protocols in the schools where parents that, you know, once the teachers are vaccinated, we therefore take care of the safety of the teachers. And then when it comes to the students, you know, if parents want to send their kids to school, they feel comfortable and the school has a situation that they're following safety protocol, then they should have the right to do that. If parents, you know, maybe have immunocompromised people at home and they'd rather their child, you know, learn remotely, just give the parents the choice. That's the issue here.
All right, Brian, thank you very, very much for the time today. And when QAnon comes up tomorrow, we'll remember you. Just kidding.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.